still in our Bibles tonight to the book of Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11 through verse 14. The book of Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. Colossians chapter 1. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. Father, guide us tonight as we look at the power of darkness. Help us to understand. Help us to be alert as Christians. Never forget that Satan is powerful and that we have the power and might of our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll just use it. We ask You to work on our hearts. Help us to see what we need to see. If there be anyone here who doesn't know Christ as Savior, oh, how we pray that they wouldn't leave here that way, but they would get it settled tonight to put their faith and their trust in Christ. For those of us who know Him, may we always be alert, watching, and stand for You and do the things that are pleasing in Your sight. We thank You. We love You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible tells us about the devil. We're going to talk a little bit tonight about the power of Satan and how powerful he is. He was, as you read in the Scripture, the anointed cherub that covereth, the Bible says. Now, if you look at that word covereth, it has the meaning of to fence in, to defend, to protect. And so it seems to indicate in the Scripture that in his original position, he was the highest of the angelic beings, and he had something to do with the protection or defense of the throne of God. We also read about the tablets and the pipes, and so it seems to indicate that he was also to do with the praise and worship in the throne room of God there, and kind of like King David. You know how King David was a king, but he was also a very, very much musical. And it seems to appear to be the same way with Satan, Lucifer, the anointed cherub, and that he was very high up and created very beautiful. I mean, when you read his description back there in the book of Ezekiel, he is quite, quite beautiful. And it was his beauty, the Bible talks about, and his pride that brought him down. And the primary function of cherubim, as you study them in the Bible, they are to guard and to protect in the various ways that they appear in Scripture. So Satan was very, very powerful in his creation and what he was created to do in the throne room of God. He is powerful as we look at the Scripture. If you look in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 24, Revelation 2:24, and we'll look at quite a bit of Scripture tonight concerning the power of Satan. Revelation chapter 2, verse 24. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. Notice the depths of Satan. He is very powerful, and he is very deceiving. And the Bible talks about the depths of Satan. Look in Luke chapter 4 and verse 6. Luke chapter 4 and verse 6. And the devil said unto him, talking to Jesus now at the temptation, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. The Bible tells us very clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 that he is the God of this world. Sometimes people say to me, well, I don't understand how God can cause all of this suffering and people dying and disease and all of this stuff. How does a loving God allow that to happen? They need to understand that the God of this world is the devil, and he delights in that kind of a thing. That's a joy to him, for to see people suffer, to see people agonize. And so the Bible teaches us that because of man's sin, when man sinned, the human race was plunged into sin when Adam sinned, then Satan took control of this world, the God of this world. And we need to understand about him that he has great power. He is the God of this world, small g, and that is because of man's rejection of God and falling into sin. Satan took control over this world. Now, not only is he in control and the God of this world, but he wants to control your thinking. Did you realize that? That the devil has great power. He wants to control your thinking. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and look at this in verses 3 and 4 in 2 Corinthians. Now, I realize that God is ultimately in control, and because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, Satan has lost his power tremendously. But he is still in control of this earth, and he will be up until the time that Jesus Christ returns and establishes his kingdom, brings in everlasting righteousness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So he blinded the minds of those that are lost. He tries to keep them from seeing the truth of the gospel and coming to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. He will do all he can to stop that from happening. And then if you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul was concerned here. He said, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve. See, he got into her mind. He got her thinking wrong. He got her thinking the wrong things. And she decided that it was wise for her to partake of that fruit. That would be the right thing to do. Even though God said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And so, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. If you jump down to verse 12, it says, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Not everybody that claims to be for God is for God. We need to realize that there are a lot of false religions out there today. There are a lot of false teachings that are about. And Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And he will do whatever he can to deceive. If you go back to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, it says, and the great dragon. Now, it's all referring to Satan in this verse. And he's called the great dragon. That's how he's pictured for us, this great dragon, because of his fierceness, was cast out. That old serpent, there he is, that old serpent that appeared to Eve deceived her back there in the garden, and then Adam willfully sinned. And we notice that that old serpent called the devil. Now the word devil has the meaning of false accuser or slanderer. It has the idea of one who casts either himself or something else between two in order to separate. You ever notice that there's a lot of strife in many of our churches today, and believers against believers, and it shows you the working of the devil. That's the idea. That's the meaning of the word devil. He tries to divide. He tries to split up. He tries to get people at one another. He tries to get people upset with one another. He hasn't quit working. He's still doing that. The old devil, the false accuser. Notice what it goes on to say about him. And Satan. He's called the devil and Satan. Satan means an adversary. In other words, an enemy. He is our enemy. You do not have a friend in any way, shape, or form with the devil. There is not one ounce, not any compassion in him at all. He has no feeling for you whatsoever. He does not care about you. And especially if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, he is out to destroy you. He does not like you, does not care for you. He will not do anything for your benefit or in your behalf. He will not do it. He is out for destruction. He is your enemy, the adversary. Notice what it says, which deceiveth the whole world. Now you can go over to chapter 20, and after Satan has been bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, you would think that he would learn his lesson. He's not been able to function for 1,000 years. He's been chained and in the bottomless pit. And the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, he is released and he goes out to do what? Look what it says. It says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Verse 8 says, and he shall go out to deceive the nations in the four quarters of the earth. So now these people have had 1,000 years at the reign of Christ, when Christ is ruling and reigning upon the earth. And when the devil is loosed, he is able to deceive them into following him. And they are destroyed, and he is cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where he will be forever and ever. The devil knows the word of God. In his efforts, in my study of the Bible, he is in an all-out effort to try to defeat God. He hasn't given up. He knows that God has pronounced his end. He has seen multiple evidence that he is the loser, but he refuses to lose. He continues to do and to deceive and to work in hopes that he will, in the end, conquer and reign over Christ. The Bible tells us in Judas, about Judas in Luke chapter 22 and verse 3, that Satan entered into him. Here's one who is of the 12 disciples. Now, I don't think that Judas was ever saved, but he was one of the 12. And one of the 12 was deceived by Satan to betray the Lord. He walked with the Lord. He was there in his earthly ministry. He saw the miracles that Jesus did. He saw the things that took place. He knew of them. And even some of Jesus' major miracles. Peter, James, and John were there, but the rest of the disciples heard about it. They knew. And they knew what had taken place, but yet Satan was able to deceive Judas into betraying his Lord. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 23, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 23, Peter, that bold disciple for the Lord, the one who told him that I'll go with you and I'll die with you, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 23, but he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. For thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. And when the Lord had said there that he would die and he would be raised again the third day, verse 22, Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Well, if it's not unto him, we have no salvation. If he doesn't die and he's buried and rises from the dead, if that doesn't happen, we have no salvation. Amen. And Peter here had gotten his thinking all messed up. And he said, No, this be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And Jesus said, Get thee behind me, Satan. You've let Satan get into your mind. You've let the devil get into your thinking. He wants to control our thinking. He wants to get us as Christians thinking the wrong way. And he will work hard to do that, get us off course and get us not to see the things that we should see and think wrong about others. So many times Christians have thoughts about others that are totally untrue because they've heard some rumor, or they've heard somebody say something, or they've heard something and took it the wrong way. They think the wrong things. He wants to control your thinking. Very powerful. And he does. We need to be careful. And then he has the power to do miracles. Satan has the power to do miracles. Some of these people in the charismatic movement who claim that there are miracles, and many of those never pan out to be the truth. But they think that because they have supposedly seen a miracle, that it's of God. That's not necessarily true. Satan has the power to do miracles. Look at it clearly in the scripture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. So what is all the working of Satan? With all power and signs. That word signs is translated in another place, miracle. And lying wonders. The Bible says clearly that he can do these things, miracles and lying wonders. That's deception. He uses deception. If you look in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 14, Revelation chapter 13 and verse 14, the Bible says, And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Now remember, you have Satan here and he's exercising, this is the false prophet exercising all the power of the first beast before him. And the Bible tells us clearly that Satan gives him his power, verse 2, last part of verse, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So notice there that the Bible is telling us that Satan gives power to the Antichrist, the false prophet has the power that Satan has, or that the Antichrist has, coming from Satan and by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. How did he get the power to do miracles? From Satan. Satan has the power to do miracles. Look in chapter 16 and verse 14. And I saw three unclean spirits or demons who work for the devil, fallen angels who work for the devil. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, verse 14, for they are spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And so the scripture is very clear that the devil and his demons have the power to do miracles. And just because a miracle happens, does not mean that it is of God. Satan is a master deceiver. Everything must be taken in the light of Scripture, and Scripture must be our guide and not experiences and what happens. He has the power of death. If you go back to the book of Job, chapter 1, Job chapter 1, we see very clearly that the devil has the power of death. Can he take a life? Yes. That shouldn't be strange to us, because we ourselves have the power of death. You could take a gun and shoot me, or I could take a gun and shoot you. That we're wrong in doing that, according to the Scripture. But Satan has the power to take life. And if you notice in verse 12, here of Job chapter 1, it says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, and there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, The fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, The Chaldeans made out three bands, and fell upon the camels, and carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking," notice that how the devil does. Blow after blow after blow after blow. He didn't just take one blow at Job. He keeps on hitting. And that's what he will do with you. He will keep on hitting and keep on hitting and keep on hitting until you break, because that's what he wants. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to give up on your God, not to trust him, not to believe that your God will come through for you, that he will fail you. That's what he's after, to get you to think that way. Verse 18, "While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house." You can imagine what it was for Job when he heard this. My sons, my daughter. He prayed for them continually that their faith would stand strong. And now all of a sudden he hears about his sons and his daughters. "And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead." His sons are dead. "And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. He wasn't going to get Job off course. Tried several blows, but it didn't work. That's why God chose him. God knew that he would stand up to the devil and do what was right. Chapter 2, the devil comes back and says, "Well, you know, you didn't let me touch him. Kept me from that. Wouldn't let me touch him. So, I'll tell you what, if you let me touch him, he'll curse you to your face." So Job is smitten with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He's in misery, but he does not curse God. Satan is able to inflict him with great suffering. And notice that he has the power to do this. But he could not take his life because God said you can't take his life. So he cannot go past the power of God. And what is great about this is that Satan lost the power of eternal death. You know that he held in his hand, when man sinned, he held in his hand the power of eternal death. But when Christ went to the cross and took death upon himself, and died and was buried and arose again, Satan lost the power of eternal death. He doesn't have that power. If you look in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, talking about Jesus, likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. And so now, through Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. We are, all of us, of our father, the devil. So the Bible says, John 8:44, until we come to faith in Jesus Christ. And when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are no longer children of the devil. We are born into the family of God and become children of God. And the devil is a master deceiver. He has the power of death. He can inflict disease. He can do miracles. He's no foe for us to play around with. He has, this is another thing about the power of the devil. He has many believers under his control. He has many believers under his control. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26. The Bible tells us here, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare or trap of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. The Bible warns in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7, it warns the pastor, moreover he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall under reproach and the snare of the devil. The devil is out to take us captive. He's out to capture this pastor, if he can, to get the pastor thinking wrong, to get the pastor on the wrong course. He's out to get you on the wrong course. He's out to get you under his control. The Bible tells us there in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, warns us very clearly, 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, that's what Satan means, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil wants to get Christians in his trap. And he does that with many and has many Christians right where he wants them. The Bible tells us, if you look at this again back in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and looking at verse 19, it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. Reminds us of 1 Corinthians 3. The gold, silver, precious stones, the wood, hay, stubble. Every man shall give an account. And we notice here, he says, verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now, how is it that some Christians are caught in the devil's trap? Well, in the context here, he shows us some things. He says in verse 22, flee also youthful lusts. Many Christians today are held in Satan's trap by youthful lusts. Lusts of the flesh. They don't guard what they watch on TV. They don't guard what they do on the internet. They don't guard their life in this area of the lust of the flesh. They don't take care that they get caught up in the things of the flesh. Youthful lust. Many Christians are caught there. The things that they do them because they appeal to the flesh. But he says, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Here's another area that Christians get trapped. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. foolish and unlearned questions. Some Christians get caught up and trapped by the devil because of some foolish and unlearned question that they can't find an answer to, and so they're troubled over it. And their faith is weakened. And it's just where the devil wants them to be. If there's something that you can't understand in the Bible, just continue to serve and study, and someday you will find the answer. But don't let it trouble you. Don't get caught up in foolish and unlearned questions. There's another area here that he mentions. He says, in meekness instructing, well, let's go to verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. There's where he catches a lot of Christians in his trap of strife, not being patient. Not everybody may have grown as far as you have grown in the Lord. Not everybody may understand just what you understand, but there are many Christians who get into strife, and they are not apt to teach, but they're apt to complain and gripe, and they're held in Satan's trap because of the strife that they produce. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. He talks here about, in verse 9, for to this end did I write that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ. It's like Christ has forgiven me, I'm going to forgive you. Why? Why are you going to take this attitude, Paul? Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Notice that another trap the devil gets some Christians in is unforgiveness. They're unwilling to forgive. They will not drop it. It's always going to be there, and it's always going to influence their life and thinking concerning another person because they will not forgive. They're held right in Satan's trap. There's another one. We'll move quickly with these because I'm running out of time as usual. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles has the meaning of to lie in wait, to be waiting to set a trap, to catch. That's the idea of the word wiles. And so the Bible tells us here that we are to put on the whole armor of God. And that's where some Christians are caught in Satan's trap because they do not put on the armor of God. They don't do these things that are listed out here for us in Ephesians chapter 6. And they're out there in the world unarmored, unprotected from a devil that walketh about as a roaring lion. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. They're not protected. You can look in James chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, and God says that he resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. And some Christians are held in Satan's trap of pride. Well, if we had time to get into that tonight, we could really look at this thing of pride. And pride was what brought the devil down. He knows pride. He knows how pride works, and he's still got a lot of it. And he hasn't dropped it, and he hasn't repented of it, and he's still there thinking that he's the one, and that the world should worship him instead of worshiping God. That's his attitude. He's so proud. Though you won't find in the proud Christian, well, I could be wrong. No, their attitude is, I'm never wrong. And they will say to you, well, I could be wrong, but in their heart they're thinking, I'm never wrong. I know I'm right. Pride is a dangerous thing. And then the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, that the love of money will bring us into the snare of the devil. Many Christians are caught in the devil's trap because of money. the love of money. They don't give the tithe. They don't give the offering. They're not that involved in faith promise. They have their own things to tend to. And their desire is to get things. All these things reminds me of the devil said to the Lord, all these things will I give you if you'll fall down and worship me. And the devil works on the mind to get us to want things over the things of God. When you study the Bible teaches us that when we give, God will give us good measure, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. And God will bless us as we give with the right heart and the right motive. God will bless us. But the devil doesn't want us to think that. He wants us to think that all they want there at that church is my money. That's all they want. Pastor wouldn't be there if he didn't get his salary. That's the way the devil wants you to think. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24. This is a blessed verse. They're all blessed because of the Word of God. Especially here in chapter 15 and verse 24. Then the Bible says, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. There's coming a time when Satan's power will end. Jesus said after he had risen from the dead in Matthew 28 and verse 18, all power is given unto me. And now the Lord has control of everything. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we are on the winning side. And the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, and we'll finish here. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so we have the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we need to submit ourselves to his will. Because the devil knows that if he can get us off course and he can get us thinking wrong and he can get us not doing what we ought to be doing and thinking wrong about somebody else or holding bitterness or holding unforgiveness, failure to do the things that we ought to do. Pastor says, you know, we ought to read the Bible every day. We ought to have a time of prayer every day. We ought to do that. We ought to daily be feeding ourselves in the Word of God. And we just think, well, yeah, that's okay for the pastor, or that's okay for somebody else, but the pastor doesn't realize how busy I am. I realize that if you don't do that, you are a target of the devil. And he is not going to cut you any slack. He will not cut you. Young people, he'll not cut you any slack. Adults, he'll not cut you any slack. He'll not cut any of us any slack. He won't cut the pastor any slack. In fact, he'll work harder on the pastor than he'll work on you if you study it out in the Scripture. And the devil is out to defeat us and to get us off course. That's why it's important to stay in the Word of God. He is powerful. He is no match for us. And even Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, said, the Lord rebuke thee. These people who stand up and are all the time rebuking the devil are heading down the wrong course. I look at it this way. I am not going to speak to the devil. I am not going to in any way try to speak to him and tell him to get behind me, because I'm not going to pray to him. He is not God. I'm going to pray to God alone. He's my God. And if the devil's tormenting me, I just say, Lord, will you take care of the devil? Will you fix him up good and get him out of here? I'm not going to say, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm not going to pray. Who said that? Do you remember who said that? It was Jesus. And Michael the archangel, when dealing with the devil, contending with the devil, said, the Lord rebuke thee. See, be careful. The devil likes that when you say, get behind me, Satan, because okay, yeah. Got you thinking now that I can be prayed to. I'm somebody. I'm something. And he'll get into your thinking and he'll throw you off course. Stay in the Word of God. Stay in prayer. Keep your focus upon Jesus Christ. Do not yield to the lust of the flesh. Do not get off course in your Bible reading. Don't let yourself get strife against another Christian. Develop an unforgiving spirit. That's what the word devil means, a divider, one who gets in between and causes strife between believers. Don't let that happen. Get it settled. Do what the Bible says in Romans chapter 12. Pray for them and do good to them. Do good to those that you feel like you have strife against. Treat them right. Don't let the devil have a victory. He wants us to be divided. Why did the church in Acts chapter 2 accomplish so much? Because they were all one. They were unified. They were not divided. And Satan is a divider. That's the idea and the meaning of the word devil. Don't let that happen in your life. Don't get contrary to the work of God. Don't let the Satan get into your thinking and think, well, you know, this church just doesn't have the right focus, or this church just doesn't think, this church is not doing. Don't worry about that. You worry about you and your walk with God, and then this church will have the right focus. We need to keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ, and don't let the devil get us off course. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight that we have the power over the devil. Not in ourselves. We understand that. We're no match for him. But in Jesus Christ. And as we put on the armor and stand fast in our Lord Jesus Christ, who resists steadfast in the faith, the Bible tells us, the devil will flee from us. Help us to stay close to our Lord. Realize that that is so important. It's so important to stay in the Word of God. It's so important to be in church. It's so important to do the things that a Christian ought to do so that we can resist the devil and his efforts to defeat us and get us off course. Thank you again for your Word to guide us. Thank you for the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. And there are some Christians. We know it because we know the devil is real. Who have gotten off course because they have been lured by the devil into his trap. Help us not to let any of these areas that we've mentioned tonight, and maybe some areas that we didn't mention, but that the Holy Spirit mentions to our heart, keep us away from what we ought to be. Work on our hearts that we will be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Help us to stand faithful in these last days. We thank you and we love you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We'll sing an invitation song. Maybe tonight the Holy Spirit has tugged upon your heart.